start this sermon out, I'd like to turn to Galatians 5 and verse 1 and read it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Here we are a few weeks before the Passover, and it is time to re-examine ourselves, to look at our commitment, and basically to look to see, have we been entangled in the yoke of bondage again to this, the physical things, the things of the flesh of this world? And that's why title for this sermonette I put Flesh versus Spirit. And I'm just going to stay here in Galatians 5 and look at it as we do prepare. We need to, Passover's not far off, not very long away, and we do need to look at that liberty which Christ gave us through His Spirit to set us free from the bondage of the law. Because if we're under the law, we are doomed. If we're still under that penalty of death of the law, we don't have much hope. But there's not too many of us, and I know myself, that is still there in our lives every day. We're coming and doing things that the law could have the big stick and wheel over us and put us back to where we started. But we need to keep struggling and going forward to try and overcome those things. And look, go down to verse 7 now and start reading here. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Here Paul's encouraging pointing out to the Galatians that they've turned back. You know, they started out running well, and we all do too. Every year we start out, we renew our commitment to Christ. We look at our repentance and how we're doing, but yet how soon do we turn around and we wind up, we're going in the wrong direction, and we got to keep turning around that we should not obey the truth. And it's hard. It's just a struggle, and we must keep on going. And then verse 11, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And here we are at the days of unleavened bread, are getting ready for them, and realize that it doesn't take much sin to throw us off and go the wrong way. Same as you put a little bit of yeast in some flour and some water and some other few ingredients, and it all of a sudden gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You mix up a batch of stuff, and next thing you got two or three loaves of bread when you put it in the oven, and it goes a long way. It doesn't take much. And so we have to stop and look at that in our lives and try and recommit ourselves and to see where the ways of this world and the flesh have beset us and dragged us back down into this world. And it's sometimes some of those simple little things at work that aggravate you, annoy you, and people do it, and things that go on, things that happen, you bang your fingers, you beat your head against the wall, and you wish you could stop, and things don't always go the way you want. But and the world does drag us away, and especially this time of year, trials and tribulations come along, things break that you normally don't want to break, and you want things to go smooth, and it just seems like Satan knows at this time of year, like when the holy days come, to just put the screw on a little harder and see if he can push you over the edge where you get totally frustrated and almost try to give up. And we must never give up. We must keep on going. There is no way of really turning back. We may slide, we may slip, but we cannot turn back. We must keep on going. Now we'll go down to verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's a tall bill to fill, to love thy neighbor as thyself. It's easier to love yourself and hate them. It's easy to see everybody else's faults. Like, it's his fault, not my fault. Why is he being so silly and doing that? Or why is she doing that? Or why this? Why that? It always can be somebody else's fault. But we always need to remember, and I always try to do that, when you point your finger, your index finger at somebody and you curl your hand up, there's always three pointing back at you. The one that's out is pointing at somebody else, but you've got three that are pointing at you. So you can say you probably got three times as many faults as the person you're trying to point the finger at and say that they've got a problem. Well, you've probably got three times as many. Or I know I have probably three times as many. It is a tall bill to love your neighbor as yourself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. You know, this, the world does, it consumes itself. The world is fighting itself into the ground. All we have to do is look around in the news and stuff, and they're devouring, biting one another in every aspect of life, and it is consuming. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not be filled with the lust of the flesh. And this is where our battle really comes in, that we must overcome that lust of the flesh and walk in God's Spirit. Let it flow through us and let it go out through. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that we cannot do the things we would. As Paul says, so that what I don't want to do, I wind up doing, and that which I do want to do, I don't do. How many of us start out in the morning, you get on your knees and you ask God to lead you in a certain direction, and what's the first thing you do when you're out the door is you're going in the opposite direction. down the road you realize that your mind and your attitude is going in the wrong direction, the total opposite direction to what you'd asked help to overcome, and but yet the thing is we do see it and we have to work at it and change, and that's where God's Spirit is there showing us that, hey, you are going the wrong way. It's when you don't see it and you just keep merrily da-da-da, keep on going in the wrong direction, but it is that we must recognize it, and God does have His Spirit show us in our minds and our conscience that, hey, you are going the wrong way. And here, but be ye led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And here the next few verses does show that comparison, the flesh versus the Spirit. I'd like to read this because not now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murdering, drunkenness, reveling, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the fruits of the flesh, basically, and it's easy to look at some of them and say, well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do the other, and yet, as it says, you break one point of the law, you've broken them all. Like the Ten Commandments, you break one. Like the world, they keep a lot of the Ten Commandments, but they don't keep the fourth one, the Sabbath, and they don't honor God, the first one and two. They throw them out the window very easily, but because they break them, they're guilty of them all, not just because they do good in keeping the last six or seven, doesn't make them that they're not under the penalty. And we can be the same way. We have to look at ourselves in this time, especially this time of year, examine ourselves, and then go on to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, God's Spirit's there. God gives these attributes to the fruit of the Spirit if we must examine ourselves. How are we doing with these? You know, do I show love? Do I show joy? Do I try to get along peaceably with the people I work with and my family? Am I long suffering? Or does every little thing just jangle your last nerve and you're ready to grab the big stick and start beating people all over the place? And are you gentle? Are you kind? All these things we must ask ourselves. And as Mr. Bowles was going through the Beatitudes, meekness, temperance, do we show those attributes in our life every day, or like most of us, or like myself, I need work. I still need to work. And that's where we need to ask God every day to help us to continue to do that work in us through His Spirit to be able to do the comparison of the flesh versus the Spirit and keep changing towards being in the Spirit. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. So we must, you know, put the lust of the flesh aside, crucify them, but then also take on the attributes of Christ's Spirit and God's Spirit and start showing the fruit of it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's a daily thing. We got to try to keep walking in that way. If it is going to be in us, we can't just let it come in. We must walk in that way. Like Mr. Armstrong always said, you have to live the way. The way is of God. It's not just a something that you talk about. You must live it. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another to envying one another. Like this world, there's nothing out there. You know, we see things, and sometimes we wish we had those things, but really, will it matter? You look at the people that in Japan that washed away this past week, and just forces of nature, and it's all gone. It's not there. No matter what they envied, what they wanted in life, is there no more. It's a fleeting moment. Life is, and we need to be doing what we need to do. We must stop and consider, and especially this time of year leading up to the Days of Unleavened Bread, check ourselves on the flesh versus the Spirit and turn to God and to emulate His Spirit in everything that we do.